You're tuned into the best damn Husker and NFL coverage on the radio.
We don't fly at 40,000 feet. We're not big picture group. They have work to do today.
You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
And if they focus on anything other than that, it's going to be a problem.
This is the Gregeth and Hook Show.
That's like a prerequisite to being at this level.
One more label try to stop me. It's gonna be some dread. It's in your lobby.
Welcome back into Gregeth and Hooks on Lincoln Sports Authority, ESPN FM 101.5 1480. Right now is so much fun around the NFL. I'm gonna make an argument. Everybody says the NBA has the best offseason. I disagree. I think it's the NFL. All these players moving teams. I mean, you don't have the drama. Well, yeah, you do. We had Antonio Brown being a baby.
Is this, and again, you're more on watching this than I am because being the college fan. But is this a unique year because of the players and the drama for the NFL?
A little.
It's like unique because now there's a lot of stars in this mix.
Yes, there are, but. This is, I will say this, the NFL has a shift. If you're a fan of the NFL or say you're a college fan, but the NFL has shifted. The NFL for the first time ever has actually gone to more of an NBA-esque way they handle their players. Think about during the trade deadline this season. Used to be you'd never get trades in the NFL.
Never.
This year, contending teams, the Packers, shipping off Ha-Ha Clinton Dix.
Yeah.
Because he's in the last, you know, however many games of his contract, they know they're not going to sign him. In the past, you just keep that guy and try to get to the playoffs and whatever.
Just keep grinding away.
Yeah, now they're like, let's play the next guy and let's try to get some picks.
A lot of them are like essentially mailing and go, oh, we're so many games out, we're so far back, let's just move on.
So it's been a strange transition for the NFL on that. But the offseason, if you think about it, every year we get these big, you know, contracts and all that kind of stuff. And I'll keep reminding people, we are closing in on the probably another lockout.
The collective bargaining is coming
out. Yeah, the CBA.
Yep.
But when you look at the salaries that are now being put under these things, it looks crazy. It feels crazy. They're not. Trust me on this, okay? Those running back deals that they got, and a lot of people saying I would never pay a running back that kind of money, it's going to become more commonplace soon because the salary cap's going to continue rising, bigger piece of the pie for the players, so you'll continue doing that. Here's some of the guys that made moves yesterday. Here's some more of the things. We've talked about, you know, the Raiders have been involved in a lot of moves. We talked about the Jets getting Le'Veon Bell, all these different things. Here's some other moves that were made. Tevin Coleman, very talented running back, went to Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
He played down in Atlanta. Talented running back who everybody was kind of waiting to see where he go, what kind of money he get. 2 years, $10 million, so $5 million per, that's it. And he goes to the San Francisco 49ers. Wow.
Doesn't that seem well underpaid?
Yeah, I thought he would get more than that, and I thought he would bring more people looking at him. From a fantasy football standpoint, by the way, it's a nice fit. A little weird because they have Breda there, and Breda was doing a lot of the things that Tevin Coleman would. Tevin Coleman's a better running back, I think. But it's a little, from that perspective, it's a little weird of a fit. But I think it was a great move by the Niners to get a guy who's going to be very cost effective. Another one that you need to pay attention to, Chicago Bears go and get Cordarrelle Patterson from the Patriots.
Ooh.
He's going to be a great fit in Nagy's offense.
He'd be awesome.
He's going to be a great fit in that offense.
I think what people miss about Cordell a little bit, one, he's a receiver, right? But then if you saw him back earlier in the earlier part of the Patriots season, what was he doing?
Running back.
He was their guy.
Running back.
He was their guy.
All sorts of stuff. Yeah, he was, for a little while there, because guys were hurt, he was like the number one receiver.
But it was also a couple games. Didn't he get like 12 carries a game or something?
Yeah, because they had some injuries.
Mm-hmm. It's a versatile piece to that offense that Nagy runs.
I would say with Tariq Cohen, Mike Davis now, who's going to be there, came in from Seattle. He's a really nice piece. I think you're going to see about 10 to 15 snaps for Patterson. He's going to be a really good player.
Yeah.
Really good player for them.
Yeah, I agree.
Fantasy, probably not fantasy football relevant, but he will be he'll be relevant for the Bears and how hard it'll be to understand what all they're doing with their offense. Another player who signed a contract yesterday, Pittsburgh Steelers make some waves, Steven Nelson, who was the starting quarterback for the Chiefs. He was one of two guys last season on the Chiefs that had a above 70 rating. on defense. He's a good player. Steven Nelson
really good
is.
Player.
Got a good little contract. 3 years, $25 million from the Steelers. He'll be a nice second corner for them. Yeah. So,
well, and not forget, also, there was a big one. As we went off the air, so you and I were talking about it afterwards. Earl Thomas has landed.
Well, so...
Earl Thomas has landed.
If I told you, there were two guys in free agency that I said just feel like Baltimore Ravens. Like, just feel
they are.
Like Baltimore Ravens. And by the way, yesterday we were talking about Baltimore and their defense and how I couldn't figure out what they were doing. They let everybody
Mosley
go.
Mosley and who's the other? There was another one.
Suggs is gone. Yep, Suggs. There's a bunch
Three
of them. But so they go out and they land...
Earl Thomas,
who'll be their starting safety. If he's healthy, he's still one of the top two or three safeties in the league. He's going to bring an attitude and leadership to that thing. That fits the Raven way, if you ask me.
Absolutely does.
And then also, Mark Ingram signs with him, which, by the way, 3 years, $15 million, $5 million per.
Wow.
Great deal for him. He's 29, but he's shared carries almost his entire career. So he's got some more.
He's a lot like Tevin Coleman a little bit with his shared carries and things like that. Maybe a little left.
Yeah, he's got something left in the tank. And I'll say this with Ingram. I think Ingram is a fantastic fit for that team, especially the way that on offense they run the football. He's going to be a great fit, power runner, wearing down defenses, can catch out of the backfield.
That's a big piece. I think
leadership. I think it's big.
That's a big get. I think you just mentioned that word leadership right there because he's been doing it. And he was with Drew Brees, a great leader in his own sense, and to help the young Lamar Jackson maybe create another element of his game, maybe the dump off, the screen game, and things like that.
You could just picture those two guys in that all black uniform with the and they'll have their visors on and just looking menacing. Like, it's a great fit. Absolutely great fit. A really low-key signing that I was hoping the Chiefs would make, but it was too expensive. The Titans ended up making this. The Titans just signed a 37-year-old pass rusher, Cameron Wake. Mm-hmm. He's still got gas in that tank.
Oh, yeah.
He was with the Dolphins last year. He had a 10.5 sack season 2016. He had a torn Achilles in 2015, but he's had 11.5 sacks and 10.5 sacks the last two seasons. Mm-hmm. Good player. Great signing, I think, for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah. Yeah.
He'll be a guy that makes an impact. You're like, oh, I didn't realize he was there.
Like a lot of subtle moves that we're seeing right now.
Mm-hmm. One of the biggest moves yesterday, and keep an eye on this, but I'm going to kind of help people understand what's going on with this situation. Eric Berry, Kansas City Chiefs, of course, came back from having lymphoma. Non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, I believe, is what he had. Comes back. He's an all-pro. Played in Kansas City for 9 years.
Yep.
Three-time all-pro, five-time pro bowler. Outstanding player. Great leader. All these things. Yep. I'm sad, personally. I love asking people when they're huge fans of teams. Like, if I ask you, North Carolina, give me your three favorite North Carolina players.
Oh, man. Those are tough. There's so many good ones.
Who's your three, though?
Who
are the three most special, closest to your heart players? You just love these guys.
One guy I'm going to tell you, a hated guy for a lot of people, but Hansborough is one of my guys. The way he did it, the Carolina way there.
Like a jerk? Is that the Carolina way?
Nope.
Tyler Hansborough.
Psycho T. Sure. I was deeply, one of my favorite, probably my favorite of all time was Jerry Stackhouse. Loved Stackhouse. Just absolutely loved the way Stackhouse got it done on both ends of the floor. And if I had to pick another one, I'm going to tell you a guy. It's a more recent guy. I mean, there's so much history with that team. But I was a huge, huge fan, still am, of Marcus Paige.
Nice.
At point guard.
With the Chiefs, I'd say it's Derek Thomas, Eric Berry, and then Pat Mahomes. Now, no, Tony Gonzalez is not on the list because he's a jerk. But I'd say those guys fit in there. Priest Holmes is probably up on the list for recent memory for the Chiefs. But Eric Berry, massive leader. Here's the deal with him, though. He's got a deformity in his ankle. I can't remember what the exact name of it is. My mom actually just had this surgery and had the same thing. And the way this works, guys, is he's got essentially a bone spur growing through his Achilles. So when he runs, when he does anything, it hurts. It hurts to walk. It hurts to do anything. You got to get shots. You know, you're getting drugged up, basically, to be able to play in games. So there's a lot of rumors that he's going to sign with Cleveland. Here's how this situation unfolds for Eric Berry. He didn't get surgery because in order to get surgery, they have to snip your Achilles. That's the Achilles, by the way, he didn't tear the year before. So he'd have two redone Achilles if he was going to go do this. So
end of his
career if he does that. But the problem is as you play on this thing, it eventually is going to snap because it's got the bone
growing
through it. So Really tough deal for Eric Berry. I wish him
well. Do you think he gets a deal somewhere?
Maybe a cheap one. He tries to play.
Like,
I could see Cleveland getting him. They need a safety after making their some of their moves because they sent off Jabril.
More like a value Peppers. Yeah, more value play for somebody. And that would, by the way, when you talk about that, would get a huge leader.
Yep,
a big leader in that area.
Here's what I want to know: is what are they going to do now? Because the Chiefs have freed up almost $20-some million. And there's been a lot of rumors that come draft time, they might be trying to trade picks for players or different things. So
But your big worry was what? You mentioned about what your worry was.
Well, here's what I don't want to happen.
This is what you don't want to have.
I don't want to rob Peter to pay Paul. And what I mean by that is I don't want to cut quality players, move on from quality guys, just to then re-sign Tyreek Hill and re-sign Chris Jones and have them take up that whole cap space. Because you didn't get better as a team. Yes, you got them long term. That's good, but you didn't get better as a team.
There's no additions.
To be truthful with you, and you see what the Browns are doing right now. If I am the Browns, the Texans, the Chiefs, who else has a quarterback on his rookie deal? That is actually good. I'm not doing this if I'm Lamar Jackson and the Ravens.
No, gosh, no.
Maybe Darnold with the Jets.
Maybe if they
believe in him.
Yeah, and I think they do.
I'm backloading a bunch of contracts and worrying about cutting these guys later and knowing that in years, probably 5 and 6 of my QB after he signs his big deal, we'll be rebuilding at that point. We're going to go through a couple years. But right now, I'm trying Patrick Peterson down in Arizona. If I'm Kansas City, I'm calling them up and saying, hey guys, I got two second round picks this year. I got a second round. I got two next year. I will trade you one in each draft for Patrick Peterson. Mm-hmm. You'll get a second round picks from us for the next 2 years. For Patrick, I would do that in a heartbeat.
For sure.
They freed up now enough money to take him on if indeed that's what they want to do. So that's what I would do if I was Kansas City. That makes sense. Let's go to the phones. We got Tom calling in. Tom, what up, brother?
Hey, on your boys' picks there on North Carolina, a couple things. The big smooth Sam Perkins would have been mine.
Oh, he's
so
good.
And also, thank you very much for not saying Rick Fox.
Oh, no.
The first human brow. And then also today, they're reporting on ESPN. The Ravens are really ecstatic because they don't have to pay for the dental plan for Suggs anymore.
Well done. Well done, sir. Appreciate that.
that's so good.
That is good.
Perkins was good. That was a little before me, but Perkins was good. There's guys out there that I could have put on there, but they were before me. And I mean, I was watching, but I was a little kid. I mean, obvious would be Jordan, but there were some other players.
Jordan doesn't have to be on that list. If we're talking about all-time favorite Huskers, let me tell you this. Guys that I just loved watching play, Tommy Frazier is not on my top three.
Yeah. I mean, there's other guys out there, and people won't remember, but like there was a point guard. Ed Cota played for Carolina. It was really smooth out there. There were some other guys. They were just fun to watch.
Vijay Singh and Piercy are sucking right
Donald Williams. People won't remember Donald Williams, who was electric in the Final Four. I think he went 25-25 both games against Michigan when they won that against Chris Webber.
Who's your baby wipes? Who's your all-time favorite? Like you loved watching these players play for Nebraska.
And we're talking football?
Yeah, let's go football.
Amon
Green is on my list. I loved watching Amon Green.
For me, it's got to be Sue.
Yeah.
It's got to be Sue.
Couple other guys? Couple other names?
You know, I just always remember Taylor Martinez running down the field in his first early years.
That can be,
Man, that's really bad.
Joe Gans is on my list because he just was fun. Joe Gans was so fun to watch. And because we really hadn't seen a lot of that around here, and he was mobile and putting up stupid, 50-point games. I mean, we're giving up a lot of points in those games, too. But he's putting up a ton of points. Joe Gans is a fun one. Actually, the Bengals head coach, Zach Taylor. Dude, Zach Taylor, I loved watching Zach Taylor play football here. And it was because he got destroyed. He got demolished, punched in the face. I mean, that dude was so tough, it was ridiculous. He was so fun to watch. The Bullocks brothers at safety were a lot of fun.
They were fun to watch.
Yeah, Joe Gans was the first quarterback I ever remember watching. So you could say that was when I kind of first got into.
He was fun, man. Joe Gans is one of my favorite players. If we're just talking favorite players to watch, obviously Ndamukong Suh is up there. There was what Ndamukong Suh did at Nebraska. I would actually honestly, if I'm going to make a very fair and honest comparison, I would compare what we saw from Pat Mahomes in the NFL this year, where like every game you'd tune in and he'd be like, oh my God, like jaw-dropping plays. He'd make some draw. And Ndamukong Suh did that in college.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was him in Nebraska. You knew every game, oh, he's picking off a pass and, you know, stiff-arming a guy on his way to the end zone. Or he's going to like pick up a quarterback and try to throw him through the earth. You know, that guy. Like you knew every game.
He was coming.
Yeah, and he had a knack. The one thing I loved about Suh the most, Suh had the knack of if you needed a big play, big man was getting it for you. Like, you knew.
Every time.
We need a safety. We need a fumble. We need a force something.
Need a, just a stop. Simple stop.
You know who was underrated at that, by the way? He wasn't here long enough, so I don't think he gets the credit he deserves, was Lavonte David.
Ugh.
Do you remember that strip Lavonte David had of who was the quarterback at the time? Braxton Miller?
Yeah, I think it was.
Where he stripped him when he was
I think you're right.
With Ohio State. We needed it desperately. Desperately needed a turnover right there. And he ran across the field, just grabbed him and took that ball. Just took
it. It's mine.
Hopefully that's Vijay Singh.
It's not.
Dang it.
That's one of your favorites, Justin Rose.
Oh, yeah. He's on my list,
He's
too.
He's expensive.
People I like. But I'm a Koepka Johnson fan. Those are my guys. When I become a professional golfer someday, I'm gonna pal around with those guys.
New career at 37.
Yeah, I always love going through the 2009 defensive line stats
and
seeing how they compared to Sue's individual stats.
That was like McCoy was playing back then. Who else was in that draft? Glenn Dorsey had already come out.
He killed
Tyson
people.
Jackson, maybe.
Well, like the entire defense averaged 3 block kicks. Sue had 3 by himself.
Nice.
You know?
Yeah, he was a beast. He easily goes in like my favorite guys to watch. Bobby Newcomb could have been up there if he got to play wide receiver a little more.
Mm-hmm.
Newcomb, his freshman year, made some plays that I had never. Ooh, I mean, they were. It was
never seen
spectacular.
Yet.
He had one catch I'll never forget by the sideline where he jumped up and he like spun around, just one handed this thing. It's like an Odell Beckham style catch. Hits the ground and then they take him out and put him in a quarterback on the next drive. And I was like, man, keep him in there. The problem was is he had what's-his-face throwing to him, Crouch. So every time he caught the ball, he had to be making those.
There's one of those guys. I remember one of those guys I used to love watching play before he had the freak accident on the sideline was Matt Herrien.
Oh, yeah.
Herrien was fun.
He was awesome.
So good.
He was awesome.
Remember how he caught everything.
Yeah, he did.
Open, always would sit in the middle and make everything. Then he had that freak deal.
Ooh, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the fullback, greatest fullback of all time, Dane Todd.
Oh yeah, why did we miss that?
I don't know.
I never watched him.
A doctorate in falling
down. Just the way he wore his uniform.
Had a doctorate in falling down.
Yeah,
is that what it was?
Yeah, he was a doctorate in falling down.
Told jokes.
Kids didn't laugh.
Nope.
We'd be terribly remiss. How did we miss that guy?
I don't know. I feel bad about that.
Hey, what was that one game like?
Trev Alberts was awesome.
When Crouch ran that 100-yard.
Missouri.
Yeah. What was that like? Because didn't Nebraska fans totally like take over their stadium that
game? Oh, yeah, God, yeah. That was back when we used to do that all the time, yeah.
Wow.
Always
would beat Missouri. There was a point, I think if you look up the winning streaks for Nebraska, it was like there was like a 30-year span where you just never lost to Kansas or Missouri.
It was always like homecoming every time you played them.
Just kicked their butt. But it was one of those deals where like it was. You like when we finally lost to Kansas, it had been like I swore
I was
like
there
30 some seasons.
It was 30 something. Yeah, I was there.
Man.
That was like 76 something. They just hung it on us.
That's not very fun. Yeah, but either way, so I'm excited to see how the Chiefs end up, what they do, you know, moving on from there.
Not too far from the draft, right? What is the draft?
It's May, beginning May. Of May,
so
about a month and
about
half.
A month and a half away.
Yeah. What's his face? The quarterback at
Kyler Murray.
He had his
pro day
yesterday.
Right?
Apparently, he threw the ball really well.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, when I was watching the video of it, you could tell he was trying to overthrow a few of those things, like really put some zip behind it, because it was getting on those wide receivers fast. Quick. But apparently, he
performed
put on
well.
A show.
Yep.
It's looking more like he'll be the number one overall pick, which is insane to me.
That's crazy.
Did you see, though, Bovada has out their odds for the number one overall pick? If you think it's going to be someone else, it's time to get in on that thing because it's got Kyler Murray is, I want to say he's minus 400. And then the next one is plus 600.
Wow.
So that's a heavy favorite.
They're feeling pretty good. That's a heavy favorite.
Yeah, they're feeling pretty good. So, but you know, the catch there is if someone trades up and gets like a defensive lineman they want or something like that. I think the kid out of Ohio State, Haskins, is a big winner out of this. Because if Kyler Murray jumps him and moves up, those quarterback needy teams now are going to be taking a look at him,
mm-hmm.
real hard look at him, and I think he could end up being, because you've got what?
You would assume, like, well, you got the Giants there, right? You would assume maybe the Giants could give him, they're like 5 or 6.
Haskins is going to be a good pro. I don't know that his ceiling is like top 5 quarterback in the NFL, anything like that. I think he's a really good, solid pro.
Yeah. I think he's the prototypical. He's got the size. He's got the build. He's got all that
good
stuff.
Arm.
Good arm.
Doesn't matter because the Giants said they're staying with Eli for this
year. But, you know, just for this year.
Well, like, the Giants have been saying they also want to sit a guy behind Eli for a season so he can learn. Okay. So this would be the perfect time. And Haskins is from the area. Like, the Giants are his destination he wants to go to.
Okay.
He's kind of...
Yeah, and this wouldn't be a year where you'd bring a quarterback into New York and let him play.
There's a lot of talk that the Bengals might be in play for a QB. Which would be really interesting.
Wow, that'd be really interesting.
Andy Dalton is not great by any means, but if Flacco can win you a Super Bowl, Andy Dalton can. You know? Now, it also, Flacco won you a Super Bowl with an outstanding, over-the-top, great defense.
The defense was incredible.
And I don't think they're going to have anything like that, at least not for the short term.
Yeah, but that defense, you weren't asked to do a lot on offense.
And he just got hot for like 3 games. Eli did that twice. Got himself championships. Is that Vijay Singh?
Nope.
We got Billy Horschel. We got golf on.
Billy Horschel.
In the studio, and VJ's not doing anything.
Maybe the first time I've ever seen you watch golf.
The second time I've ever seen myself watch golf. we'll take caller number 5-466-3776. We'll hook you up with movie tickets for this weekend. Down to the Grand Theater on us with Greg Ethan Hooks. Hour number 2 on the way.